And good morning, friends. Welcome to this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. And if you're not familiar with our broadcast, well, the Grace Hour is a daily live broadcast that helps the believer dive into their daily challenges and helps him or her learn about their faith in a very practical way. My name is Pastor John Love, and today I'll be joined in the studio with Pastor Schaller, who is the senior pastor here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore. We're excited to have him with us live in the studio today. And, of course, we're going to continue to discuss our wonderful theme, what it means to have a relationship with God. You know, you hear a lot today in Christian circles about how important that relationship with God is. And I think you might hear this often. It's not religion, it's a relationship. Well, we wholeheartedly agree with that. A relationship with God is so crucial. It's what's needed today. And, of course, you cannot begin to have a relationship with God unless, of course, you're born again of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3. It all begins there, but there is so much more to our relationship with God. That relationship can grow. We can be stretched, so to speak, so that we have a greater capacity for God and for the things that God wants to reveal to our hearts. And, well, there's just so much to look forward to when we're talking about this all-important subject of developing our relationship with God. Thanks so much for joining us today, friends. And we want to remind you to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And, of course, we hope you'll join us for our next broadcast. That'll be coming up tomorrow, live right here on the Grace Hour as well. And we'll open up the phone lines during our broadcast today as well and invite you to join us. And as always, we would ask that your thoughts, your comments, questions would be on target and stay in touch with the theme if we take your calls live in the broadcast. And to join us, quite simple, get to a phone, dial one of these numbers. The toll-free number in all of North America is 800-338-7060. Again, toll-free, 800-338-7060. And the local number in the Baltimore area for all of you that are listening locally, 410-483-3700. And, of course, you can always email us your comment or question at questions@gracehour.org. And we look forward to hearing from you. If you'd like to join the chat, weigh in anytime you like. That way you can participate in the broadcast as well. So the all-important relationship with God. You know, our lives are consumed with relationships. At least I hope that is the case. God did not design us to be alone. Even when you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, when God made man, one of the first things he said was, it's not good that the man be alone. And, of course, he made a helpmate for Adam in the garden. And I think that that was just the beginning of the importance of relationships in our lives as believers, and especially so in the body of Christ, the church. But all of the human relationships, those horizontal relationships that we have with one another, well, they pale in comparison to the relationship that we should have with God. And our relationship with God and the intimacy that we have with Him in that relationship should impact all of those other horizontal relationships that we have with other believers, friends, acquaintances, family members, and the list goes on and on. So the importance of that relationship with God, well, it is vital, it's essential, it's what we need, and it sustains us in this world. Again, Pastor Schaller has joined us in the studio today, so we're ready to get things started. And again, the phone lines are open. We invite you to join us whenever you feel led to do so.
Great, Pastor. Great to be with you today.
Yeah, good to
be with
you.
What a good subject.
It's all important.
When I'm sitting with you, I feel like you're the guy that knows the subject.
Oh, I wish I knew the subject.
Yes.
Even better than I do.
Yeah, well, we have, you know, our starting point on the discussion, I think, is in itself a lesson, and that is, you know, when you are asked a question and you go to the Bible, it helps enormously because we have reference. In heaven today, there are innumerable number of angels. There are the saints, the spirits of just men made perfect, Old Testament saints, the church purchased by the blood of Christ, and that there is fellowship. There is relationship with God. Sometimes we think that, relationship with God in the context of this world, and that's okay, that's good. But before this world was ever made, the sons of God were in heaven with God. And that word, sons of God, is actually Elohim. It means gods. Are they angels, or what are they that were when God made the world? This is Job 38:7. When he flung the stars out and made the worlds, that the sons of God sang together. Okay, now, relationship with God. So when we die and we leave our body and we go to heaven, we will have relationship with God. That's what this is about. When Christ was in heaven with the Father, he always rejoiced before his Father. Proverbs 8:32-35. Christ on the earth without a sin nature, always in fellowship with the Father, doing his Father's pleasure. John 5:19, John 5:28. All right, so Adam and Eve are created and they are put in paradise in the Garden of Eden. And there God is there. The voice of God is walking. In the morning, the voice of God is walking. That means it must have been a person walking, and that's Christ. Christ is in the garden with Adam and Eve. They are in fellowship with Christ in the garden. What a great understanding, fellowship with God. So you have sons of God before creation. You have the creation. You have the Son of God before creation, Christ with the Father. Always in fellowship. This is normal. This is normal relationship without sin in the Holy Spirit in fellowship with God. That must have been very compelling, very persuasive, very effectual, very satisfying, very much at peace. The holiness of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. So there it is. That's our starting point, relationship with God. Did you want to comment, Pastor?
Well, as you describe that relationship with God and as we imagine it and what it must have been like, then you think about the entrance of sin. And that just changed everything. And I think all of us listening today, we can identify with that. We know what that's like. Because we live in a world, as believers, where we have a relationship with God, and we want that relationship to grow and to be sustained and to be as healthy as it possibly can be. But yet, we can sense this opposition because of a sinful nature, a sinful world, a world that is corrupt and controlled by Satan himself. We can sense, we feel this pressure, and we can only imagine what it must have been like for Adam to be in the garden without sin and to just know I was made by God and I was made for this purpose to have a relationship with him. Now that seems to have been pushed out of the way in our culture, and it's like, no, it's about me. It's about my life and what I want and how I'll use it, but it just seems to leave God completely out of the picture.
Yeah. Let's go back to that point. Adam and Eve in fellowship with God. Everything is clear. There must have been amazing joy, incredible peace, like the prophet said, peace like a river. Clarity, conviction, persuasion, holiness, no sin, just fellowship and communion with God. Like we could say day and night, day and night, day and night, there is a clarity and the confidence. Was there, I'll ask you, Pastor, was there any guilt?
No guilt. No
shame.
None.
their fear?
No fear. It just, I just keep thinking, so many people, where they get off track is Adam, his starting point was God. But today, the starting point is us.
Yes.
And if the starting point is yourself, it makes sense to me that you're never going to really discover why you're here or what your purpose is to be here on the planet.
Yes. Okay. But you don't even, we don't have to say, I mean, that's true about today, but then it was in Adam's time also when he sinned, he hid, he was afraid, he said it. God said, "Where are you?" Not as if God, who knows all things, didn't know where he was. It was more written for our sake that God has lost him, like man is lost. And when we say people are lost, this is really the meaning. It's first mentioned right there where God is saying, "Adam, where are you?" I mean, I know where you, I actually know where you are, but this is outside of me. I didn't make you for this. I didn't make you to be a sinner. I didn't make you to be afraid, to be ashamed, to hide, and to be detached from me. I didn't make you this way. So this is the context for what the program is about, and that is like relationship with God, which has been lost. And I can't help but think of even us people lose our relatives. Like, where are you? You could, a dad could say to his teenage son, "Where are you? I don't know you anymore. Where I lost you," or daughter. And even friends, like they say, "Yeah, they're not my friend anymore. They're not in the picture. I don't know where they are, what they're doing. We've broken trust. We don't have the same relationship." This is the big problem in life, and it is relationships that are broken, that people change, that they disappear, that they don't want to be connected with you. So how much more should we realize that there has been a real loss with God, and that he said in John 1 that he is light, but the world loves darkness.
Do you think that people sense that lostness? And can they sense it without the Holy Spirit revealing to their hearts that, they are indeed lost? I mean, it seems to me that people have come to this conclusion that, I'm not finding any meaning and purpose in life. I am lost. But that doesn't always result in them turning toward God to find that relationship. You can sense that you're lost,
yeah,
but at the same time, not sense your need to turn to God to find meaning.
Absolutely. Wow. People turn in many, with it, the problem is that the sin nature has many options. They thinks it does. It has many ways to turn, and it's not to God. The Romans 3:10-18, those verses reiterate and make it very clear that man does not seek God, does not understand God, does not know God, and is suffering. So why wouldn't the suffering bring me to God? Well, that's a good question. That's for us. We are evangelicals, right? We are those that are in the world to make every effort to bring people to God. And yet we have a lot of experience in seeing there's what the psychologists call defense mechanisms, where people are in denial. I think there's six of them. I can mention a few by memory. There is the deflection, you know, my problem, you know, I have a problem, but it's not because of me, it's because of you. There is the denial, I don't have a problem, and there is the, what's another one? Denial, deflection, blame, hiding. That's how we operate as sinners. And the first observation in that is when God did meet Adam, say, "Where are you? I hid myself." That's it. "The woman you gave me to eat." God said, "Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of?" And he says, "The woman," of course, you know, big capital letters, "the woman you gave to me and I ate." So
there's the deflection, the blame.
Yeah.
You can just see it
subtly there. It's
early
there.
On.
Yeah.
But the beautiful story, the gospel story, even all the way back in the garden, is that, sin entered the human race, Adam's disobedience and sinful nature passed down to everyone that's born, that comes from Adam. But God wasn't going to let things stand that way. He was going to find a way to redeem mankind and still continue that relationship with him, albeit now man would be sinful, and as you said in Romans chapter 3, he wouldn't seek God, he wouldn't want to know God, he wouldn't understand God. But you just see the pursuit of God throughout the Bible, that God wants a relationship with man, and if sin's in the way, then he'll deal with sin. If rebellion is in the way, then he will do everything he can to, you know, bring man to a place where he wants to be submissive and subjective to God. So you just see the love of God, which is why maybe someone described how they spelt the word time. They said it's really spelled L-O-V-E. God loves us so much that he's going to find a way to have a relationship with us. And he just was, you know, they're not going to leave that garden without a covering. He's not going to send them out into this world and start the human race without knowing that his grace, his mercy, his love is real.
Yes.
It's powerful.
Yeah, he wins us. So if we shift the conversation to that point, that even though man has been lost, it's God's desire to catch him, to chase him, to pursue him, to seek him, to find him, to restore him, to redeem him, and bring him back to that relationship. And this he did through Christ. He redeemed us, and we are reconciled with God and made friends. So now God is saying, you have it in you to somehow heal the relationship, but you cannot do it. How can the unclean thing become clean, you know? How can that which is dirty clean itself, you know? There has to be some force, authority, rule, some method outside of us that has to do it. And so he did it in his wisdom. He devised the plan through Christ. So that being done, we are restored. So now let's think of our relationship with God as a gift from God to us, that he wants it, that we have it, and we should relate to each other, relate to him and to each other based on that work.
This is so difficult to try to communicate to those that are lost, to the natural man, those that are not born again. Because I think there's something about the old sin nature that wants to substitute religion for a relationship with God. Religion, you can still maintain your own life. You can still live a secret life. You can still practice hypocrisy. But you can't do that if you have a relationship with God. It's like any relationship. When you're in a marriage relationship, it's transparent. I mean, you can try to cover things, but ultimately everything is going to be revealed and exposed. And I think that that's what it's like to have a relationship with God. There's no more hiding. There's no more like Adam and Eve. Well, you know, God says, where are you? And I don't think they looked at each other and said, hey, this is great. He doesn't know where we are. We're hiding behind this bush and he doesn't see us.
Mm.
But it's more, where are you at in life? God, he puts the thumb on us and he says, I know what's going on. What are we going to do about it?
Mm. Oh, I love it. It's good what you're saying. Oh, that's great. I'm going to look it up. I think it's C.S. Lewis's book, Pilgrim's Regress. There's an opening chapter there about Christian meeting, maybe worldly religion. I forget the name of the guy. And he's sitting at a desk and he looks good, etc. And then he has like one of these Greek masks, you know, on a stick, you know. And then he's talking and then he takes the mask away and he says, you know, like in other words, you need to obey the rules and follow the rules and live in humility. And then he takes the mask away and he kind of looks to the side. He goes, you know, don't worry about it. Nobody really does it. And then he goes back to, you know, I think I might use that tonight in the message and make the point, because it is that story, even though I read it like many years ago, it's coming back to my mind. And sometimes I take that as from the Lord. I want to make a point, and maybe it's relevant for people to hear it. And what you just said reminds me of that, and that is that religion is, in a way, a convenience for people. They have their life, and then they have this line of backup thing that they got going on, which is religion. And it's kind of their fallback, you know, mode. They're kind of like just like life insurance or fire insurance or something, just in case, you know, just in case there really is God. Yeah, just in case, you know, I will be judged one day. Maybe it'll be a lighter sentence, you know, if I have some kind of religion in my life. So that's so really true. But the beautiful thing about the Spirit-filled life is the genuineness, authenticity of it, the reality of it, just like Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall, and then Christ on the earth during his ministry. You cannot deny the fact that that guy was authentic, that he was real, and people knew it, and that's why they killed him.
Yeah, and I think this is what threatens so many people in our culture today. He is real, and if he starts to get close, then you got to close the door, because this is just, it's too real.
Yeah.
He might find out what I'm really like, and then where will that leave me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, you know, we sinned, Adam sinned. That sin nature was passed down over time. And Bernice has joined us live in the Grace Hour, and she's got a good question. Why did God leave the fallen nature in us? Bernice, do I have that correct?
That's it. I've had different thoughts, so I just thought I'd call and maybe get a confirmation or listen to your take on it.
Okay. Pastor, how would we answer that?
Yeah, Mark 4, this is how it is. You got to follow it with me. I hope it's not going to be too abstract for you or those listening, but it's in Mark 4, and Jesus says the kingdom of God is like, seed planted. Now, if you think of the history of the world and what he's doing as a field that is growing, this is the kingdom. This is, you know, how I want you to see it. It says, verse 26, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, I know that the kingdom of God parables there are many of them, the kingdom of God and the seed sown and so on. But if you could say that, okay, if Jesus had come and saved us and took the sin nature out of us, then we would have been entirely, we would have been glorified immediately. The day we got saved, we would have been glorified. So your question is, why did he leave the fallen nature in us? And my understanding is, it's like a garden that is going through phases. And one phase is when the plant is very small. But I don't see the fruit yet. But it's still growing. It's phases. That's all that the parable is about. It just says, and he should sleep. He's a man who casts seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. So when things could have changed immediately, he could have cast the seed into the ground, and immediately the next day the plant is all grown full with fruit, fully matured. But the kingdom of God isn't like that. It isn't like happening automatically, you get saved and automatically you are glorified. But it goes through phases, and we don't understand everything about it. But we are in a phase now where we still have the sin nature in us attached to our body, our mortal body, as it's written in 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans 7. It's in our body. Well, why didn't he change our body, take the sin out and change and glorify the body? Because in his wisdom, he didn't. That's all. That's one way to say it. He wanted to teach us why we have two natures now. We have a sin nature, and then we have that perfected nature, Christ in us, 1 John 3:9. And he, Christ, does not sin. So imagine we have a nature in us that doesn't sin, and then we have a nature in us that does. So like imagine that. That's like an honor that we have a nature in us that doesn't sin. And you might say, well, why did he do it this way? Just because he says it's like a garden going through phases, and we are not at that phase yet. You know, we are at this one. Well, why? Well, maybe for the angels to see it, for us to learn to live and have victory over our sin nature. I think we're learning a lot about our sin nature by living in our sin nature at the same time having Christ's nature. I think we're learning a lot about God, a lot about sin, a lot about death, a lot about suffering, about a lot about life. I mean, we're learning it. We are the saints that are being prepared for glory, and we are also learning warfare and learning about temptation and overcoming temptation. Learning about grace. Imagine the grace that we're learning about, that God is giving me grace every day, even though I have a sin nature. He is just showering me with grace. That's amazing.
Yeah. Good answer. Yeah. Huh, Bernice?
Yeah, it is. I believe it's left for a purpose. I believe it's left to help us to see more how we are and to understand more about God.
Absolutely.
And because if he had taken it out, we, like he said, I guess we'd have had to glorify about it, but he didn't leave it like that. I believe he left it there to teach us. We still have to ask forgiveness. We have to, I just believe it's there for a purpose.
That's right.
And something I heard you say, I forgot what it was, about trying to hide. But now in Christ, you can't hide, or he made me do it, or she made me do it. But, I mean, it don't work that way. You know you did it, and you might as well confess it and go on with your life with the Lord.
Yeah, and it's as Pastor Schaller said, you know, some people, some believers would say, oh, these two natures, this conflict within my soul is terrible. Mm-hmm. But actually, when I think about that, I say, that's amazing. Because before I only had one nature, and it was sinful. But now I've got a new nature. So I'm part of us. Yeah, we're grateful for the conflict.
Right. I hadn't thought of that. That's great. That is great.
Bernice,
I'll just finish
there to help us.
I want to read the rest of that parable. It says, rise night and day, and the seed should spring grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So we could say there is in the end there is an eternal age. Before that is the millennium. Before that is a tribulation. There is the rapture. And before that is the church age. So we are in phases. But then when the fruit is brought forth, immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So there's a time when the harvest comes. There's a time when there'll be no more sin nature. There's a time when it's over. And we will look back. How will we look back at this time? Do you know how? It'll be through the Bible. We'll be in heaven a billion years from today. A billion years from today, we will have the Bible in heaven. How? What do you mean we'll have the, well, heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word. So we'll have the Bible. What will we read in the Bible? All these things we're talking about. Also the sin that happened, the devil that usurped a man's place, the judgment of God on sinners, on the devil and the demons. We will, at the return of Christ, all of this in the Bible will have happened and more being revealed to us. So we will say, do you remember when the blade of corn was just like 2 inches high and we were living on the earth with a sin nature and trusting God? Do you remember that period of time? Yes, I remember that period of time. Well, it will not always be this way, but it will be changed, and that day is coming.
Mm-hmm. Bernice, right. Thank you so much. We got to move on.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you. Day. Thank you. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. The local number in Baltimore is 410-483-3700. Let's go out to Las Vegas. Our good friend Dietmar is joining us. Dietmar, great to hear from you.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Pastor Shalom, Pastor Love.
Hi, Dietmar. Wow, thank you for calling. Long time. Thank you.
Yeah, about a decade ago or so that we talked.
Okay.
But I watch you every day. I watch the Grace Hour almost every day.
Thank you.
It's awesome. That subject is really a wonderful subject. And over the last 6 months or so, I've been studying the difference between relationship and fellowship. It came as I studied, and I thought, those are my thoughts, is the relationship is permanent, you know, because salvation depends on God. It's immutable, and we have that relationship. But then God has invited us to that relationship, and once we enter it by putting our faith in Christ as Savior, it's permanent. It cannot be changed. But then I found out in the Bible about fellowship with God. And he invites us to fellowship with Jesus in 1 Corinthians 1:9, and then with the Holy Spirit in fellowship in 2 Corinthians 13:14, and in 1 John 1:3-7, with the Father and the Son. And fellowship is volatile because it's here on earth, it's volatile. In heaven, of course, it's not volatile. It's also permanent. But the fellowship is to be with him. He invites us, like he wants to be he calls us friends. So there's because we can quench the Holy Spirit, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, we are all sinners, as we just heard. You know, there are two natures, 1 John 1:8. You know, we live in a fallen world and we sin. So there's no sin eradication. And we have the rebound principle, as we know in 1 John 1:9. But the amazing thing that I found out is that God invites us to fellowship with him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I think that supercharges our Christian life, so to speak, if I can say it that way. But that was just a thought that I had.
Very good.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, as you said, the relationship starts when we believe on Christ, but that leads into great fellowship with God, and that fellowship is ongoing, and it can be enhanced. And boy, it's just such a blessing when you experience that kind of fellowship.
Very good.
Thank you, Dietmar. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys.
God bless you.
You know, that leads us to the question on our screen here. Why is spending time alone with God important? What are some practical ways we can spend time with God? What does it mean to spend time with God?
Prayer is one way that we can spend time with God. I mean, you can have corporate prayer with other believers, but when you're praying by yourself, you're alone with God. And you pointed it out a little earlier, Pastor Scheller. We're in a culture today, a lot of noise, a lot of crowds, a lot of busyness. If you don't step away from that and have that quiet time, we hear a lot about that phrase, quiet time with God. Our souls need that. We need that, because if you're surrounded constantly by the noise and the crowds and the busyness, it has a way of drowning out the still small voice of God. And spending time alone with God in prayer, because that's not just one way. It's not just us talking to God. It's God speaking to us. So that prayer life is crucial. Spending time alone, studying the Bible, praying over it, and getting a promise from God, I think that helps as well. So, you know, there's a lot you could say about the importance of spending time alone with God, because as someone has well said, you don't want to see the face of people until you've seen the face of God.
Oh, okay.
And it's just invaluable that we are meeting first and foremost with God, and then we're reaching out, impacting all of those horizontal relationships in our lives.
Now, there's another point here, and it is, you know, when you have a colleague, a comrade, a friend, and you go, let's say you ride in the car, you're just together, maybe husband and wife, you know, they're very close, they're together, but maybe not talking, but just being together. Yeah, you know, we should all, because of our fellowship with God, we've been called into the fellowship. I think God is faithful to who's called us into the fellowship in the sense that he will never reject us, because all of the barriers have been, they've all been taken down. They've all been removed through Christ. So we always have access to God. We always have this open fellowship with God. So he's our companion, our God. He's the one present with us. So I don't know about you, Pastor Love, but I'm sure it is this way. But tell me a little bit, just a word, on do you feel like when you go to Lowe's to buy something, or you're driving on the Beltway, or you're going somewhere, that you are always, I mean, you are in fellowship with God as a normal way of life.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it could be stated this way, because in the Old Testament, and this is shortly after what we read about with Adam and Eve, you get to the fifth chapter of Genesis, and then you have a list of names of people who lived, and then God explains how long they lived, and then they died, and they lived, and they died. But then you reach this one name, Enoch. It says, and Enoch walked with God. In the midst of everyone apparently perfectly content to live and die, you have one man that walks with God. I think that's what it means to walk with God. It's like when you take a walk with someone, you want to be with them.
Yeah,
you're communing with them.
Yes.
You're spending time with them.
But they may not be doing, neither of you may be talking.
Yeah.
But you are. They are present.
Yeah.
You are together. So but this little phrase, spending time with God, is a little bit, could be misleading. It means like, all right, 90% of my life is with myself, and then I cut a slice of 10% to spend with God, you know. That's not what it means. Like, we pray without ceasing. We are walking in the Spirit. We live in faith. All of our life is in fellowship with God. Unless I sin, that's when the fellowship is broken. And then I have a relationship, as Dietmar mentioned, that I have the relationship because I am a child of God, but I'm out of fellowship. So to be restored, it's very important to know that. I confess it, and I am restored in fellowship. And that's serious. Like to 2 Corinthians 7:10, there's godly sorrow. I mean, it's a good effect of like recognizing that my fellowship is broken, and that I'm back. Here I am, and I admit, God, my fault. I am at fault. I have sinned. I take the full responsibility for that. I have sinned, and then the blood of Christ washes me, cleanses me, and I'm in fellowship. That being said, I do think that people should have times when they quiet down, sit on a park bench, are before God in their heart. I think they should take the Bible in the morning as much as I can, with a cup of coffee if you want or not, or by fasting or by going for a walk, but to kind of get my life in order, kind of bring everything before him and say, this is your business. This is, I give this to you, Lord. Lead me, guide me, and see if there's anything not right. And on the other hand, the shout of a king is amongst them. I don't think that we have to be always so quiet, but there is the loudness, the singing. David danced with all his might. Now, Jambore shared in homiletics class the other night a great message. We gave 5 minutes to a few students to preach, and he did a great job. And he said, David did one thing with all his might. The other things he did were very great. There were many things he did militarily and other ways. But one thing he did with all his might was dance before the Lord with all his might. And he said worship was a big part of David's life. And when he, with all his might, danced before God, that means he was fully dedicated to God. And he danced. So there's another aspect to like spending time with God, if you want to call it that. Like it, with all your might, you set him before your face. And then he said, he's always at my right hand. So there's two positions. Psalm 16 says, I've set him before my face, and then he's at my right hand. Well, how can you have two directions? Before my face, as one, as I worship him, and he's at my right hand to help me in my life, to be at my right hand.
Yeah. I mean, that analogy of, 10% of my life is with God, and 90% is with myself or my own life, and what I want to do. But what? It's kind of like people live that way, The 10% is I go to church on Sunday.
Yeah, this is the religious thing.
That's the religious part of it.
Yeah.
But we don't. That's not fellowship necessarily. It can be, but it doesn't always translate to it. Because when we go to church, which we do here regularly 3 times a week,
yeah,
that's just walking with God with other believers.
Yeah, sure.
We're with the body of Christ.
Yes, yes, yes.
A lot of encouragement, a lot of worship, a lot of friendship, a lot of fellowship. But it really doesn't change our fellowship with God when we walk out the door.
Sure.
We still walk with God.
Sure.
We still are having communion with him.
When you play basketball, when you go shopping, when you buy a gallon of milk, when you're driving the car, when you're home in the living room, when you're getting ready to go to bed, it's all about God. God is present. Actually, when I brought my neighbor one time to the Easter play, I drove him to the play. I met him after, I showed him my office, we had a little talk. I drove him back. On the way back, he said, now, let me ask a question. Do you think about God all the time?
Yes.
And I go, well, I don't, why do you ask? He said, do you think about God all the time? And I asked him, I said, well, do you think about God? And he goes, no, I don't. So, like, that was interesting,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, it might sound like something funny about it, but actually for us, it's like companionship. It's counsel. He's my counselor. He's my guide. He's our father. He's our friend. He's our savior. Why, if he saved me from hell to give me a new life, why wouldn't he in this life be very relevant for everything that I'm going to encounter?
Yes. Yeah. But that question, you know, it's somewhat humorous, because if you're not a believer and if you're not saved, the thought and the idea that some people have that we would think about God all the time is incomprehensible. All the time. They just think, you know, every once in a while I can understand, but how do you do it? But as you said, we're walking with God. It's a relationship.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we want to?
Yeah.
Well, friends, thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We really appreciate you tuning in and sharing your thoughts with us. We're going to be back tomorrow, and we're going to touch upon a subject tomorrow that Pastor Schaller mentioned a few moments ago. What happens when that fellowship is interrupted by sin? And what can we do about it? And how can we make sure that we can quickly deal with that sin and move on in our wonderful relationship and fellowship with God? We'll talk about that in tomorrow's broadcast. Until then, may God bless you.